Well, good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church, or at least the recording of the service at Bethel Baptist Church. Monica and I send our warmest greetings in your direction and pray this service will be a help to you. Just one of our sad announcement to make this morning is that Rita Burnett went into heaven yesterday morning. She fought for the last few years against declining health, and she was greatly and lovingly looked after by Elaine and Hillary and their families these past few years. We never got to have her regular company, and up until about 6 months ago I was able to call with her every week and share a wee time of fellowship and some songs and one thing and another, but with my illness and then the quarantine that has been going on, unfortunately I haven't been able to see her for the past few months, 6 months. So I know her two daughters have looked after her very, very well. But I tell you what, she is certainly not regretting the day that she accepted Christ as her Saviour now. So please do, you can be glad for Rita's life. You don't have to pray for her anymore. She's with her Saviour. But do pray for Elaine and Hillary and their families and Leslie's family as well at this time. We miss her lots. We're sad that she's gone, but we're glad she's in heaven and she's not having to suffer anymore. All right. We're going to have a wee word of prayer and then we will sing a song or two or three. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this new day. Thank you for Rita's life, Lord, and for the many years of care that Elaine and Hillary devoted to her, and even Leslie too, whenever he was alive. Please, I pray you be with them and speak to each one of them, Lord, in their own hearts and minds. And Lord, I pray that Rita's life would be an example and bring souls to the foot of the cross, to repentance of their sins and salvation. Please, Lord, save souls through this time. And, Lord, I pray your will would be done as regards the final saying goodbye and Rita's funeral. And, Lord, I just want to remember and make a mention of all of our church members and our virtual church members. And, Lord, you know, you've promised that wherever two or three are gathered together, and I am sure, Lord, you understand the extenuating circumstances. And maybe there's only one person listening to this, but you know, Lord, in spirit there are 20, 25 people, maybe even more listening to this, and I pray that your good hand would be upon each one of us. Thank you especially for Dr. Yang and Dr. Shang and Frank, for answered prayers there, for John, Richie and William, and Christine and Marianne, Lord, for William and Rachel and Paul even as well, and for Reggie, and for all that family connection, please be with them. Thank you for Rita's life, Lord, and that of her testimony. We pray too, Lord, for Esther, and pray your good hand upon her. I'm sure she has many prayer requests for her children and their families right now. And Lord, we're not forgetting Eddie and Anne, our two newest CD recruits. Lord, I pray for your good hand upon them and you keep them safe at this time too. Remember Christy, Lord, and I pray for inspiration and authority, for completion of work and for things to be done, Lord, for the completion of his PhD as well. Please be with him, Lord, and please draw him close to you. And I pray especially for Taylor as well at this time. For Terry too, Lord, for his salvation and Taylor's mom as well. And for Christy's mom. Remember too, Norman. Lord, please put your good hand upon him. I pray you, Lord, for wisdom. I pray you, Lord, for victory over the devil and his soldiers that just seem to be always nipping at his heels. I pray you, Lord, for a great victory, for a 2 Samuel 20:22 victory, Lord, please. You've given us everything that we need. And, Lord, I pray you, Lord, for Norman and his situations, his legal situations at this time. Pray you for Mark, for Mark Withington, I think it is, and for Brenda and for that whole connection. I pray you, Lord, please, that justice and your will would be done, that you would stop them and the other soldiers of the devil in Norman's life, just stop them in their tracks, and please be with them. Remember too at this time, Lord, Pat and Steve, and there's a big connection there too. There's Keith and Pat, there's Sam and Louise, and there's other children, Lord. I pray for Pat as well, and I know she has in her heart and mind Lorna and Philip, Jessica and Thomas, and Holly and Emily, and wee Henry, Lord. And as well, Lord, too, for Marie and Edward and Janet and her situation, and Florence and Anne and Evelyn and Noel and Helen, Lord, and Alfie too. I pray you for a great salvation. Please look after them and tend to their aches and pains, Lord, and lift them up, I pray. And we're not forgetting Carol and John. Please, Lord, bless and keep them and inspire. And Lord, I don't want John to slow down. I want for me to speed up. I have to try and catch him in these Bible verses. Bless him as he goes, Lord, and bless him to his remembrance as well. Please look after Stephen, Lord, and watch over him and keep him. Just pray that your will would be done in his life, Lord. Please open his understanding. Please, Lord, I pray you just teach him. And Lord, we're not forgetting those that have been with Bethel. I think on the Ho family and the Edgar family and the Robinson family. I think too on the Borland family as well, Lord, and the Lemunions. Please, Lord, I pray, restore to fellowship and to walking and talking with you. We can't finish our virtual church membership, Lord, without thinking on Norman and Noel and Joan. And I pray you, Lord, for your hand upon that family at this time, for aches and pains, for wisdom, Lord, for salvation where it's needed. For Jane and Corey and the same, Lord. For Terence McLaughlin, Lord, please put your hand upon that man and give us an opportunity to speak to him or to minister to him. We pray you too for Carol and for Harry and Marie, our mom and dad, for a blessing upon them, Father, this day. For their other neighbours, for Stephen and Anne Marie and their family, Lord, this day. And Lord, I pray a blessing upon them for their help over the past few months. And we're not forgetting Henry and Evelyn and their children, but especially our wee grandson Isaac, Lord. Please, please look after that wee fella. And Lord, please again put your good hand upon Sally. I pray you for salvation. For Sally and Sam and Kate, I pray you, Lord, for help for them too. And we remember too Alan Leslie and Pearl Hetherington, Lord. And we're not forgetting the Fleckner family, Maslam and Georgina, and their two boys, Lord. Please save their souls. And their other kids too, Father. Please look after them, and please bless my dad, John Bradfield, Lord, as he listens up in Portadown. Please, Lord, for my in-laws as well, for Roger and Pat as they listen over in America, and all those other souls that click on the messages or listen or that are connected on the Facebook page or get a CD in through the doors, regardless of the day or the hour, Lord, please help it to be a help in these difficult times. I pray you, Lord, for lives to be saved. I pray you, Lord, for souls to be saved. And I pray you, Lord, that you would not be done with us and doing what we can to help that along. Please give us power, overcoming power, wisdom, peace, contentment, purpose, direction. Lord, even a lifting up by the ear or a slap on the backside if we need it, Lord. You know our needs, and I pray that you would supply. Please forgive us, Lord, where we've let you down. And please, Lord, I pray, just be one of our number as we take this time around your word and lift up your praises. Please lead us through the rest of the service. Help us always to be a help. And don't be done with us, Lord. Love you and thank you. Amen. Amen. All right. We are going to begin with 147 this morning. 147 is Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Thank you.
song and worth remembering in these days.
Okay. Well, we are going to have our Bible reading this morning, and this morning is from Romans chapter 12. Just remember, at any time, if we call upon a song that you're having difficulty finding, or a Bible reference you're having difficulty finding, just press the pause button, not the stop button. Press the pause button and just take your time and find it. And then whenever you find it, press the play button again and join right in with us again.
By the way, we don't have COVID. If you hear a cough or a splutter, I think I have finally given in to the notion that I've had hay fever for years. Sometimes my nose just has a mind of its own. As Brother Billy used to say, if only I could swap my feet and my nose about, then my feet could run and my nose could smell. But at the moment, it's the other way about. All right, Romans chapter 12. Thank you, Brother Steve, for your reading suggestion. I look forward to the time whenever you can come up and read it for yourself again, and I can sit and listen. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another, with brotherly love and honour, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, give them to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another, and mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. And thank you for that, Brother Steve. Hope that was a help to you all. And look forward to more Bible readings in just a little bit of time. We have a few announcements. First of all, the one that we mentioned at the beginning of the service. Please do pray for the Burnett family. As you know, Rita Burnett, wee Rita, she used to be called, she went up to heaven yesterday morning. And I am sure that it left a great number of tears and a big hole in people's lives. Her daughters, Elaine and Hilary,
just pray for them at this particular time and their families, because I know it can leave a tremendous gap in a person's life. They spent many hours every day tending to their mom and lifting and laying her, not begrudgingly, but lovingly. And she did have a tough time. She was pretty much bedbound the last year or two of her life. And I am sure she, like I said before, she's up in heaven now. She's a new and a glorified body. The robes of righteousness. There'll never be another ache or pain or tear or fear that crosses her mind or her body. And she, you know what she just wants now? She just wants for all of her loved ones to be saved. So please do pray for the Burnett family, especially in these difficult times when I know that many people won't be able to come and pay their respects. Please do pray for those dear souls as well. And we're not forgetting the cousin's family that lost a dad at 43 years old and left quite a young family behind him. Please do pray for the cousin's family up in Kilkeel. Please do pray for the Quigley family down in Tully Alley. They're connected to Pat and Steve, lifelong family friends. Please do pray for the Quigley family. Do pray for Norman. As you know what? He still misses Sandra. And I know Carol and John and Stephen still miss John as well. So please do pray for all these families. And this is only a few of the ones of those that we know that have lost loved ones. Please do pray, and the Lord knows who they are, for all of those, not just in Northern Ireland or Great Britain, but in the world, that have lost loved ones to, well, anything. It always hurts and it always leaves a tremendous gap in people's lives. But the Lord says it is a rare opportunity for people to consider their eternities and make right decisions for Jesus. So please do pray for them as well. Do pray for us and continue to pray for us, because we were able on eBay to find a part for the CD and DVD duplicator, and we were hoping that it was here yesterday, and we were just dancing a jig until I found out it was a box of padded envelopes that I had ordered for other eBay stuff. I know it may seem silly, but I am thankful that the Lord has managed or helped me to get rid of bunches of stuff that have been sitting on cupboards for years, and has given me a little bit of an interest in my reduced physical capacities at the moment. So I'm thankful for that. Unfortunately, it didn't arrive yesterday morning. It might be sitting up at the house now as we are in the service. This is the Sabbath day. I pray that you enjoy the service, whether you listen to it on the Sabbath day or on the Lord's day. So please do pray for that. Please do pray for everybody's private prayer requests. For those that are having to work from home, just pray. You know, the Lord will, if you give him a moment in your prayers, the Lord will put things upon your mind to bring before him. So pray for our country and pray for our country's leaders, and pray for the leaders of all the countries in the earth. We are supposed to pray especially for Israel. I see there's a bit of a tiff going on between them and, is it Iran or Iraq? I think there's some cyber war or other going on at the moment. Please pray for the victory for Israel, and don't be afraid to stand up for them or for the Lord God that gave his life on the cross for you. God bless you. If you have any other prayer requests, please text me or Monica and we will add them to the list. I think we got everybody in our at the beginning and they're just there now. So I think that's about that. Please do pray especially for lost loved ones. I know every one of us have family members and friends that you would like to see in heaven forever and ever. I'd like for you to pray for Clive and Paddy and Claire and Emma and Ollie. They weren't mentioned during the service, so please do pray for them. And Tina and Kathy and Linda and Louise and Peter and Mary and their families as well. And of course, Karen. And don't forget Brother Stan up in Bangor. And all the goodness, everybody that's just taken time to sit down with God's word. There's going to be people that don't have the opportunity to get a message posted through the door, please do pray for them too. I think that's about that, isn't it? We'll have a word of prayer and then we'll sing another song. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time and for, Lord, just a desire to help people, especially the brethren, Lord, in their daily lives. And I pray, Lord, it's not just for me as I stand up here and for my wife as she enables me to stand up here. It's for each one of your children. Please put it upon our hearts, Lord, to be good Christian children and to put a smile on our faces and add an inch to our step, because we are going to heaven. And someday, could be a very soon day that we will actually meet with Rita again, and she'll not be that wee old woman that we knew whenever she used to come to Bethel and sit at the back and speak to Esther, but she'll be in a vibrant, glorified, everlasting body, fully herself for the first time ever. Please, Lord, I pray you put your good hand upon each one of us. Bless us, Lord, as we take the time around your word. And please, Lord, I pray you bless the remainder of the service, the rest of the songs, the reading of your word, the tithes and the offerings. That's an old habit there. And the time in your word, yeah. We love you and thank you, Father. Please bless us as we go. Amen. Amen. Just shows you there are some good habits to slip into. Praying about things that Christians need to do is a good thing. Amen. We're going to sing 102. 102, that is, He Hideth My Soul. If Brother Billy was here, he'd be happy to see that. Brother Billy and Sister Rita are having a shindig in heaven right now. Amen. 102, He Hideth My Soul.
I'm
are going to have a look at our Bibles now, if you would like to join me in the book of Hosea, Hosea chapter 1, beginning at verse number 1, and we're actually going to read the first two chapters of this portion of God's Word. There's only about 31, 32, 33 verses, and we are going to be speaking on the subject of taking things for granted or believing that we deserve all the good things in the world. Taking things for granted, beginning at Hosea 1, chapter 1. And the word of God says, "The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, Go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms, and children of whoredoms, for the land has committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, Call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again and bare a daughter. And God said unto him, that is Hosea, Call her name Lo Ruhamah, for I will have no more mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. But I will have mercy on the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Now when she had weaned Lo Ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Then said God, Call his name Lo Ammi, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, Ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, Ye are the sons of the living God. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. Say ye unto your brethren, Ammi, and to your sisters, Ruhamah, Plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. For their mother hath played the harlot, she that conceived them has done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns, and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax, given to cover her nakedness. Now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of mine hand. I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, and her Sabbaths, and all her solemn feasts. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, whereof she hath said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me, and I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them. And she decked herself with earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers and forgat me, saith the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shalt call me no more Baali. For I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall be no more remembered by their name. And we're going to stop there. And we are going to spend a little while on the subject of taking it for granted, or I deserve it all. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this time to come before you and this time in your presence. And I pray you, Lord, for your good hand upon each one of us, especially for those that have taken the time to prepare a message, Lord, to seek your will in prayer. I pray you, Lord, that you would inspire and give wisdom and words to each of the men, Lord, that stands to bring the full counsel of your word to the people. Please be with us as we go on, Lord. And Lord, please, again, I pray you, grab a hold of each one of your men, of each one of your people, Lord. And Lord, I pray that your will would be done in their lives. Give us the good sense to listen to you and to do what you say. We love you and thank you, Father. Amen. All right. A very somber portion of God's word. And it tells a very unusual tale. The tale of one of God's prophets called Hosea. And you can actually find out whereabouts in history that he lived, because it tells you what kings that he served under. He was fairly long-lived, this guy. So he was the de facto high priest of the country. He was the man through which God dealt with the country. And you know, sometimes whenever we say, God, I'm your servant, God takes us in different directions. And in this particular one, it was a very unusual direction. For God said to Hosea, go and find yourself a prostitute and marry her. And I am sure that might have caused Hosea's jaw to drop, because the law that was given by God to Moses to the high priest said that you were always to, if you were going to get married, you were to marry a girl of your own tribe, and she wasn't to be married or have any children. But in this case, God told Hosea to go and marry a prostitute, and by the looks of things, an unrepentant one at that. Now, this wasn't because God hated Hosea, but because he loved Israel. And through Hosea, he was going to set an example to the children of Israel, which included the kingdom of Judah and the kingdom of Israel, about the way that they had treated God. And to show all of his people how well he had treated them. For over the centuries, he had delivered them so many times, provisioned them whenever there was nobody else to do it, fought for them on numerous occasions, and he still turned their backs upon him and went and visited and worshipped the gods, the other gods, small g, of the lands which God delivered into their hands. Now, just like this prostitute that had everything, children, food, clothing, riches, provided by her husband, she began to take everything for granted. She began to say, well, I can go and behave like I used to behave and just indulge my pleasures and go and visit my old clients, and they will give me even more gold and wine and food and fancy clothes. And so Gomer, that was the name of the prostitute that God instructed Hosea to marry, she turned her back on Hosea and went after other men. Now the next dozen or so chapters, they detail the warnings that God sends to the children of Israel through the life of Hosea and Gomer. And sometimes it can be difficult to see whenever God stops instructing Hosea and starts talking about Israel. He's not just talking about a man looking for his wife anymore, but a God that is seeking after his people. And he warns them time and time again. He warns them that they will be chastened, that everything that they thought they had because they deserved it will be taken away because it was God that gave it to them. Just in the same way that Hosea says to Gomer that he is going to take away her clothing, her riches, her food and her wine, and he is going to leave her destitute the way that she came into the world. The very last chapter, even I noticed as we were reading these chapters, these 1.5 chapters that we read, the last chapter is not a warning anymore, it's a promise. And not in the way that we mean it when people say, "Are you threatening me?" And people say, "I'm not threatening you, I'm promising you." This is a promise of God in a good way. Even as the promise of God was there in Hosea, the first couple of chapters, that if you turn back to me, I will bless you and restore you. I want to read the last bit of Hosea in Hosea chapter 14. This is what God said to Israel. He's dealing finally with Israel. "Return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods, for in thee the fatherless find mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew upon Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread and his beauty shall be as the olive tree and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree, from me is thy fruit found. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein." Even though the Lord is warning and threatening dire consequences, not that even that the Lord will bring them upon his people, but more often than not, they bring them upon themselves. Even for all of that, I was going to say God has the patience of a saint, but it's not the case. Saints have a little taste of the patience of God. There is still a forgiveness and there is still a recovering to those that will come to God and admit that they're wrong, saved and lost alike, and do it God's way. This is a very pointed warning about staying close with God. A lot of people say, oh, it's really hard to obey God. It's not really hard to obey God. It might be hard to undo all of your bad habits, but it's not really hard to obey God, especially if you're saved. The word of God says his commandments are not grievous. In Matthew 11 he says, if you listen to me and do it my way, you'll find rest unto your soul. It is grievous to follow God if all that you're interested in is your own wealth, your own glory, your own riches. Because the Christian life is not about lifting yourself up. It's about lifting God up. It's about lifting the brethren up. The word of God says if you humble yourself in the sight of God, in due time he will lift you up. But it's not about getting power and it's not about getting glory. In fact, the Lord even said to his disciples one day, whenever they were discussing who was the best among them, maybe one of them said, well, I was the first disciple to be chosen. Another one might have said, well, I'm the one that's always there. And another one said, but I'm a doctor. Another one said, but I'm the richest disciple. And Jesus said, come on over here and I'll show you who's going to be greatest. It says, whenever you come like a little child, ready to obey God, that person is the greatest. Remember, like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness? And God said to Moses, I want you to prepare this because I am sent the plague, and anyone that looks in that brazen serpent that you set up in the middle of the camp, they'll be saved. Hence the song, Look and Live. And many, many years later, thousands of years later, said, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up so that all men can see him and come unto him. And we're supposed to do that in our own lives. We're supposed to lift up Jesus. So that when people look at our lives, they don't see the great things that Mark Bradfield accomplished or Monica Bradfield. They see the great things that Jesus can accomplish through a soul that's willing to take second place to God in their lives. To the Christian, I say to you, remember the things that God has done for you. Do you remember the first thing that God did for you? He started convicting you of your sins. Maybe he still does that, Christian. But that through that conviction of sins, he brought you to the foot of the cross so he saved your soul. After that, and maybe sometime after that in my case, he reminded you that no matter where you go or what you do, he will keep you in the palm of your hand, no matter who comes against you, no matter the suffering you go through, the defeats that you face, or indeed the victories. God keeps you in the palm of his hand. Your salvation is assured. The Lord also gives you lovingly and willingly and as often as you like permission to come into his presence in prayer. He gives you the comfort of the Holy Spirit and the whispering of his word in your ear just when you need it. He gives you through the Holy Spirit the remembrance of all the things that God has mentioned to you. I'm sure if I said to you, tell me all the Bible verses you know, you might be able to get a dozen. Or if you've just recently been memorizing a chapter, you might get a whole chapter, maybe 20 or 30, and some of the old favorites. But I can guarantee you, whenever you are out there and you are speaking to people, the Holy Spirit will remind you of Bible verse after Bible verse, each one applicable to the person you're speaking to or the situation that you're in. I was just, there's a poster up in the men's bathroom. I don't actually think I wrote it down here, but the Lord will also give you overcoming power. All the things that we think are really tricky for us, and most of them are in our mind, the Lord can, if you let him, show him how to get past them. Oh, if I give up drink, I'll lose all my friends. God will say they're not your friends if they're going to give up on you whenever you stop keeping their company in a pub. But for by that, I will give you something 100 times better, 100 times more friends that love the Lord, etc., etc. Overcoming power whenever you do it God's way. God also says about the angels, they're ministering spirits sent to minister to those that are the heirs of salvation. That's you and me. These are the things that God will give you, Christian. He also gives you the intercession of Jesus Christ. Whenever the old accuser of the brethren comes and says, Mark did this, or Mark said that, or Mark entertained wicked thoughts, Jesus, and I'm sure I'm guilty of them until I catch myself on. And Jesus says to My heavenly Father, Father, I paid for that on the cross of Calvary. He also gives blessings when you obey him. Patience, wisdom, power. He gives you a church family that will remember you in prayer, even if you're too far gone to pray for yourself, and to actually even be there for you at the end of a phone call. I already spoke a little bit about the wisdom of God himself, but the Bible says in James 1, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and he will give liberally and not say you're too smart for your own good, which I'm sure a lot of people have said about me over the years. Gives you the word of God himself, the things that God needs for you to know, the things that will get you through this life, the right way, the clean way, the holy way, and the way that's pleasing to God, in the word of God. He promised there would always be the word of God in the face of earth for those that are looking for it. And he also supplies for us a purpose that is so great, Jesus wasn't above doing it. And God actually says to us, if you want a job, how would you like Jesus' job? A lot of people think about the glory and commanding 12 legions of angels, commanding the winds and the waves, but they forget about the job that was the hardest one, the one trying to move human hearts, seeking and saving that which was lost. That's the job that God has for you. And it is the most noble of tasks. Many jobs and many things that we do will last for years and decades, maybe even hundreds or thousands of years, like the pyramids in this world. But the things that we do for Jesus Christ will be remembered for eternity. We hope in the souls of those that choose him as Savior. You know, there's a lot to be said for knowing that you did what God asked you to do. There's satisfaction in that. To know that there's a home in heaven waiting for you. And all these things for the obedient child of the King of Kings. These things are not ours because we're good. And these things are not ours because we deserve it. These things are ours because God gives them to those that love him. To those that stop by him. To those that walk with him. There's only one of those things that belongs to the lost soul. And that is the conviction of wrongdoing and the conviction of sin. All of those can still belong to a certain extent. Many of them, a compromised Christian will still be given. Only they'll not be a blessing anymore. There will be a conviction of their waywardness, of their rebellion. Can you imagine being reminded of Bible verse after Bible verse, Christian, when you are indulging in your compromise? What do you do? It's not a help to you anymore. It's a stripe across your back. Can you imagine the Lord, whenever you're doing all these things, saying to your Father and my Father, Father, I paid for that. That stripe on my back is there because your son, our son, my brother, is continuing in a sin. Do you know what? Those things should be a shame to the Christian that has rebelled against God. All of those things are there to make a life with God possible in this dead, sin-cursed, dead and dying world. But I want for to tell you, God is not a mechanical set of scales. He doesn't just balance the good against bad. He's not karma. He is a person. He has likes and he has dislikes. He has blessings, but he also has chastenings. He is one of the three persons of the Trinity, and we know that they have feelings. We know that they are prepared to act upon them. The Word of God warns us not to grieve the Holy Spirit, by which we're sealed unto the day of redemption. The Lord rejoiced with his disciples whenever they came back rejoicing that even the devils were subject to his name. But he also grieved at the tomb of Lazarus. He loved the rich young ruler that came to visit him. God has feelings. Even our Father which is in heaven, who has dealt many times with mankind, has been grieved and repented many times of all of the good that he has done to them whenever we have gone astray. God will take the stick to us if we're not careful. Maybe you never got the stick. Maybe you got your ear tweaked or your side locks pulled. Maybe you got the slipper. Or maybe mummy just went out and got a wee bendy stick off the hedge and nipped it off with a pair of scissors or the old kitchen knife and then chased you up the stairs to your bedroom. And no matter where you ran to, no matter how many times that you ducked and dived, eventually she would get you. And it's the same with God. Some people might actually say, but how come I'm doing so well without God? I have three questions for you. The first one is, are you? The second one is, for how long? And the third one is, what goes through your mind at 3 a.m. in the morning when you wake up and realize when you're just you and God? What's going through your mind? What's the conviction of the Holy Spirit? What's it like to know that you're rebelling against the man that gave his life on the cross of Calvary for your sins? In Hosea, the Lord is going to chasten the children of Israel for leaving them. Not to kill them, not because he's angry and wants to destroy them, but because he wants to save them. And sometimes the stick works better than the carrot. So just as Hosea was going to withdraw all of his supply to Gomer, God was going to withdraw all of his provision and protection from Israel so that they would come to their senses. And the Lord will too today still, so that hopefully we will come to our senses. And he says, do you know what? Yes, we make mistakes. We, not God. We do make mistakes. Sometimes we make them with the best of intentions. God says there is a forgiveness. There is a recovering. There is a getting back on the straight and narrow path. Don't forget even the Apostle Paul. Do you remember what the Lord said to the Apostle Paul whenever he was Saul? He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. It's hard for you to do all of these things which go so much against everything that you know and understand. Do you remember the kings of Israel? Kings of Judah? I'm only going to talk about the first few, but I see Jeroboam's mentioned there, Rehoboam and Jeroboam. the son of Solomon. Do you remember Saul, King Saul and King David? Do you remember King Solomon? Do you remember how these men made great inroads into God's will and to show them what God can do in their lives in their early days? Then there came a time whenever they started to believe that everything that they had was there because they had put it there. All their accomplishments, all of their victories, all of their riches, they started to believe it was theirs and not just on loan from God. And they departed from God. Saul, he started to go mad. He tried to have David killed. Eventually, he rejected God's counsel completely and went and checked in with fortune tellers, called up Samuel, and Samuel said to him, you guys will be with me tomorrow. He went out and lost a great battle, and all of his sons except Mephibosheth were killed. David killed Goliath. He killed the lion and he killed the bear. A stripling of a lad. Some of those critters are maybe 1,000 pounds in weight, maybe 8, 9, 10 feet tall. I don't know if you've ever picked up a wee cat, but there's not very much fat in cats that are let run about. It's all muscle and sinew and claws and teeth. But David was able to kill them. And then he came up against this giant of a man who was at least the height of the ceiling in the church. At least, what, 10 foot, 12 foot high. And he killed him too. And the whole country praised him. He got a foot in the court, a seat in Saul's court. He got the hand of his Saul's daughter. Eventually he got the kingdom. And he did great things. But the thing about it is, he married many different wives as well, and that caused no end of bother. And eventually he left worshipping God and started worshipping other gods. Committed adultery. And he lost it all. He gave it up to his son Solomon. Because along with some chastening from God. And Solomon, he was the wisest man that ever walked on the earth. But he started to believe that all of his wisdom was his. And he married over 1,000 wives and concubines. And they turned his heart away from God. And God said to the kings, you know what? Because you have left me, the kingdom's going to be ripped out of your hands. He said back in Saul's day. It took 3 generations of blessed men before that happened. And even then, in their days, they walked away from God, thinking that they deserved everything that they had in their pockets and everything that they cast their eyes upon. In the end of it all, the kingdom was torn in two. And the 10 tribes of Israel, they went and they just became very worldly. Very power orientated, and their history is full of murder and rebellion. Sometimes even the same with the tribe of Judah. But Judah was the ones that walked with God, and Israel wasn't. Friends, don't ever think for one instant that everything that you can lay your hands on and every little number that you have in your bank account is yours because you're special. All of that can disappear in an instant. You know, it would be great if once we were saved and did everything right, that there would no mistakes ever be made. That everything would go according to God's will. And I want to tell you, it would be great. And someday it will be like that. But it's not like that now. Because whilst God is on his throne in heaven, we rule the roost down here. And God gives us the opportunity to do things his way or our way. He convicts us. He reasons with us. He even pleads with us. And he chastens us. All in an effort to do things his way. And he does this through his word. He does this through the conviction of our consciences, the Holy Spirit. And he does it through circumstance. And he does it because it's necessary. Because inch by inch, if we didn't take the time to read his word, to stir up the gift that is in us, we would compromise. We would just blend in with the world. We would start off in the pubs just drinking Coke, but before you knew it, we'd be on to beer and spirits. We would start off in the clubs just meeting up with strange women or strange men, but before you know it, we'd be spending the nights with them. We would compromise in order to fit in with the world because we don't take time to fit in with God. And we're not having a great time. We're thrilling in the rebellion against God, but we're causing no end of trouble to ourselves and those about us that are dependent upon us. And we think all the time that things are good and all the stuff that God has sent our way and even allowed us to do, whilst we walk with them, are going to stay with us whenever we rebel against them. They're not. Now don't think for an instant that life will be great whenever you go and do the things that everybody else is doing. They're lying to you. All those ads on TV, I remember watching whenever they were allowed to advertise drinking and smoking on TV and in the cinemas. I remember watching the ads and thinking, I've worked in a hotel and I have seen the shape of people that have indulged in those things for an evening. And it's not ever something I would care to try out. All those things can be gone so very, very easily, friends, when God takes to dealing with you. Learn the lesson of Adam and Eve, who thought that they could know what sin was all about. They could know the difference between good and evil. Learn the lesson of the children of Israel in the wilderness and the number of times they rebelled against God when he lovingly protected them and provisioned them. Learn the lessons of Saul and David and Solomon. All of these people, after years of faithful service, believed all that they had was theirs by right, that they deserved it. And then they moved on and forgot about God. They lost lives, they lost families, friends, even empires when they turned to the world. Regardless of what comes your way, keep your eyes on Jesus and keep walking with him. Many years ago, I used to have a dream about being chased by dogs. These three big dogs. And there was one time, I think it was one giant rat with red eyes. Let you know what I was dreaming about and reading and stuff whenever I was little. But every time they were coming after me and I was trying to get away, it always seemed like I was wading through molasses. And it was so very, very hard. You know what, friends? It's not hard to walk with God. He makes it hard for us to walk away from him. But it's not hard to walk with him. There's freedom, peace, contentment, purpose, fellowship with God, ministrations of angels, overcoming power, and so many things are yours. And they're there to give us a wee taste of heaven, to go to heaven in. He loves us, and he wants the best for us. But the best for us will only happen when we turn our eyes upon Jesus, in the words of our last song. So, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Keep them in your mind. Everything always works out for the best whenever you keep your eyes on Jesus. I'm just going to find the song. I think it's 261. 261. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Thank you for your good time. You want to take your hymn books, close your Bibles, and take your hymn books and turn to 261. We will sing together. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
you all for your good time and attention.
God bless you. Pray you have a good Sabbath day or Lord's Day or whatever day it is that you take time to click on us or spin us up on that CD. Pray you just remember the names that were mentioned. Great thing about these services, you can just go right back to the beginning and get all the names that were mentioned. But please do remember these souls, and pray these souls will remember you, and your name will be called out in heaven each day as all of the people lift up your names as they pray to God. He loves you. He wants the very best for you. To keep your eyes fixed on him regardless of what's going on in the world. Remember, Christian, that you are safe and secure in the Saviour's palm, and nothing can ever take that away from you. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Saviour, he loves you to bits. That's why his Son came to die for all of your sins. You just tell him that you're wrong, that you're turning away from your sins and you want him to save you, and he will. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Please bless the reading of your word, the preaching of your word, the prayers, the songs, the praises, Lord. Please bless them to us. Please find them acceptable in your sight. Please use them, Lord, to strengthen us and to keep us right. Please, Lord, save souls. Please edify the saints. Please, Lord, don't be done with us. We love you and thank you. And we ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. God bless you. We'll be back next time.